Reformed Church.
You know what? Let me just bring you here. Hebrews 10, verse 35. We'll start there. Hebrews 10, 35. Obviously, the whole point that we've been making with the series, again, we've been making different points, but the main point is the fact that people don't realize that there's a period of time that it takes with the things that God has spoken to you before what God has spoken to you comes to pass and before what God has spoken to you manifests in your life, all right? Whenever God speaks to you something regarding Jesus, now what we're talking about today, just so you know, is not just about anything that God says to you. Again, God could tell me this pulpit is in front of me. We use the pulpit as example all the time, but God can tell me this pulpit is in front of me. And as much as that is true, that's not going to bear fruit for me. God can tell Abraham he's going to have a son. That is not going to bear fruit for Abraham. All right? The only kind of word that bears fruit, there's a lot of different, just so you know, there's a lot of different wisdom God can give you besides the knowledge of Jesus. And if you've been here for a while, which all of us have been, that may sound a little bit weird at first. What do you mean God can give me wisdom beside the knowledge of Jesus? Well, again, if God tells me that this pulpit is here, if God calls out something in the crowd and says, you know, someone has this condition, that's not the knowledge of Jesus. That's just true, right? Jesus is a person, and he did something at the cross. That is a knowledge, right? But there's a lot more knowledge, right? There's just knowledge of physical things. There's knowledge, there's mathematics. There's knowledge of all those things. God is okay with all those things, and God is actually the maker of all those things, okay? But there's a specific knowledge, and there's only kind of knowledge that will bear fruit for you is knowing Jesus, all right? A great verse for this, actually, we won't go here, but just a great verse for this is in Colossians 2, and he actually says, you can tell that it's specifically things that are according to Christ that bears fruit for you, because he says that the one thing that cheats, pay attention to this, the one thing that cheats people out of seeing fruit. In Colossians 2, he's referring to bearing fruit and coming to the full assurance of faith, and then that bearing fruit and us receiving the riches that comes from the full assurance of faith. But he says that the one knowledge that can cheat you, if you don't have it, the one thing that can cheat you of fruitfulness, even as a believer, okay? It doesn't mean that something was stolen from you as a believer, but the one thing that can cheat you from fruitfulness, even as a believer, is knowledge that is not according to Christ. I'm not cheated of my inheritance because there's something of mathematics that I don't know. Because there are, trust me, things about mathematics that I don't know, right? The later years of high school proved that to me, right? Things that I'm not quite getting that. And there are things that I don't know about mathematics. There's things that I don't know about a lot of things. But I'm not cheated of God working through me because I don't know those things. I am cheated if I refrain from the knowledge of Jesus, because that shows you that is the one knowledge that bears fruit in you. This is why, again, because again, faith, the fact that when we come to a full assurance of understanding, it bears fruit. God could give you a word about your life and say, you know what, in 3 months, this is going to happen or whatever. And again, as I've said plenty of times before, don't put yourself on your own time frame. If God didn't give you some very specific thing and you're very sure about a specific time frame, don't even go there, okay? Because, again, it leads to disappointment when no disappointment is even necessary there. But if God gives you a word and says, in this time frame, this is going to manifest, that's great. Just like God told Abraham that he was going to have a son. But that is not the promise that Abraham believed. As we went over in the Enter New Earth series, that's not the promise that bears fruit. You see, because we get into this thing like as if belief just in general makes things come to pass. But that's like wish upon a star kind of stuff. That's fantasy stuff. Like if you believe it hard enough, it'll come to pass. No. Like this doesn't work for everything. The believe it hard enough, or if you believe it in a full assurance kind of way, it'll come to pass. That doesn't work for everything. I can't just believe that I'm going to get a new car and then I just get a new car. Like it doesn't work like that. The only reason why belief produces anything in this new covenant, the only reason why faith is necessary in this new covenant is because God has something in store for the world. Jesus came as the mediator of these things, right? He's the one that provided these things and did the work necessary to provide us with these things. So we have to believe on our mediator to get the things that he provides. And even as a believer, our mediator has put things inside of us. But we have these things through Christ. So we have to trust the work of Jesus and believe what he has done in order for it to be just for these things to manifest through us. Okay? It's all about the mediator. It's a belief in the mediator. If you're just believing in general, again, even Abraham believing, despite the fact that it was true, God told him you're going to have a son. It wasn't the belief that he was going to have a son, though, that produced, you know, in other words, Abraham did not need to come to a full assurance of understanding of the fact that, and just believe, you know what, God, I'm not letting this word go. I'm going to have a son. You can do that, and that would be right for you to do because God is not a liar. If God tells you something, believe it. But that's not going to make you have a son because you believe you're going to have a son. And again, people might think that what I'm saying is like blasphemous or something, but all the contrary. If you were to believe that, that would be blasphemous. Because what you're saying is that just belief in general, in other words, like if I'm Abraham, that just belief in my future son is going to produce my future son. No, no, no. It's about the mediator. That's the only reason why faith is necessary in the new covenant is because we're receiving through the work of somebody else. That's the only reason why belief is even necessary on our part. It's because belief on our part tells God, not because of my work, Lord, work this through me for my mediator's sake. And then God's like, I can do that justly. But if you were to tell God, Lord, work through me because I'm awesome. Work through me, Lord, because I've been doing the right thing. I've been trying to stay, as they say, on the straight and narrow, which is an inaccurate quote. Lord, I've been trying to do the right thing. So, Father, I just pray. I've kept myself from sin, Lord. I've kept your commandments. Work through me. God wouldn't be able to work through you. The only reason why belief is necessary is because we're telling God by our faith. Faith is just knowledge of Jesus, right? But we're telling God with our faith, Lord, because of him, not because of me. I'm believing in him. So you're telling God, Father, I know I received all of this inside of me because I believed in a full assurance way. I came to a full assurance of faith in him. So that's why you put it inside of me to begin with. And Father, just therefore, as I have received Christ Jesus, I walk the same way. I believe my mediator. I believe it's not for my sake, but for his sake that you manifest these things through me. It's not because I'm qualified in and of myself, but because of the qualification righteousness that he gives me. That's the only reason faith is necessary, because you're receiving through Jesus, who is the only way to the Father, right? He's the only way. And if he's the only way to receive, that's why faith is necessary, to believe on him. So just like, it's not called faith, and it's not something that you need to grow in. Oh, I'm assured. Like when we talk about believing the promises of God. It's not enough to say, even again, the promise of God that Abraham believed that caused Isaac to be born. We went over this, again, in the Enter New Earth series, but that was the gospel that he believed. Abraham believed that Jesus provided resurrection life. Resurrection life. That literally, that phrase, right, that is what Abraham believed. He believed in the resurrection that God was providing him, and that's why Abraham's body was raised. You may not see it that way, but that is what was happening. It was a resurrection that happened to Abraham. Abraham's aged body needed resurrection. Resurrection just means when you take something and restore it into a place of life. That's what resurrection is. And God took his dead body and raised it, gave it resurrection, and therefore all the parts that weren't working before started working again, because that's what we have in Christ, resurrection. That's what enabled his dead body to have a son. Not because he believed he's going to have a son. Because Isaac, Abraham's son, his future son, is not his mediator. Therefore, belief in Isaac is going to do Abraham nothing. The one knowledge that the Bible says is necessary to produce fruit. Let's say God had never even told Abraham that he was going to have a son. Abraham could have still had a son. But let's say God had never told Abraham about the resurrection that he provided. Abraham would have never had a son. Again, you're not cheated. Colossians 2 says this. This is not me making it up. The only knowledge that needs to be present, and the only knowledge when it's left out that cheats you, is the knowledge of Jesus. It's not, oh, I didn't know I was going to have a son, therefore I can't receive that son or the power in my body to have a son. It's, oh, if Abraham didn't know Jesus, his body wouldn't be able to have the power to have a son. So the full assurance that we're growing in, that Colossians 2 speaks about, that it's a process of growth. It's not just hearing the word of God. It's hearing the word of God and then continuing in that word for a length of time and meditating on it. The Bible says, right, that through use, we went over that, through use is how we mature. Using the word of God, rolling it over in our minds. And again, all this gets tied back. This is not a listening to Jesus message or series. All that gets tied back to that, right? We don't have to come up with our own meditation. We can listen to Jesus, and he will bring that meditation to our heart. But nevertheless, though, it still is through meditation, though, that we mature in these things. Again, the Bible says, right, the way you go from being a baby to a full-grown man in Hebrews, it says that is through use. That's how you train your senses and you train your mind to realize the full extent of the truth that God has spoken to you. And only after continuance, again, it's not just faith, after continuance in that knowledge of Jesus, it produces fruit. And that's why, that's actually why it took time for Abraham. It's not just, again, all in God's timing. Like, the manifestation is just up to God. Again, we want things to manifest in the way in which God wants them to manifest. But the day to start receiving the power of God is today. The only reason why, even in Abraham's case, why it takes time is because God spoke a word to Abraham in Genesis 15 and even before that about the resurrection that Abraham had. And it took Abraham years to grow. And it doesn't have to take you years to grow in a knowledge. People can receive just sitting in their seat and they get a realization of something and they can immediately start manifesting to some extent fruit. So don't get into your head that this is a message that just says, like, there's no such thing as receiving something or seeing a result instantaneously. Or again, I'm just tying it to what it should be tied to, and that is our understanding. So we have to grow in our understanding before we see the full results of that word that God initially spoke to us. Again, the word about what? The word about what? Word about Jesus. Listen, I've received words about a lot of things. I'm sure all of us in here have received words about a lot of things. But a word about your life is not what's going to cause that to come to pass. Okay? Growing in that word is not what's going to make it come to pass. Get your head wrapped around what Jesus did for you at the cross. That will make it come to pass. The only wisdom that bears fruit when you come to a full assurance of understanding of it is the knowledge of Jesus, period. Okay? The word you need to be holding on to is the knowledge of Jesus, period. When God told Zechariah, you're going to have a son, and he didn't believe it, it was a bigger thing. Again, I won't get into that. I think I did talk about this in the Enter New Earth series, so I won't get into that. But it was not that word that was going to cause John the Baptist to be born, and it's not the word about our life that causes manifestations in our life to come to pass. It's the word about Jesus that causes manifestations in our life to come to pass. Okay? So when it speaks about the promise here, this is speaking about the gospel that Abraham was given. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense, or recompense means like repayment. Great repayment of reward, for you have need of patience. Remember that word patience, like that word continuance? You have need of continuance that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, don't start out being confident. Like when God first speaks to you and it just sparks something in your mind and you get all excited about it and you're like, man, you know what? Nothing's going to stop me from receiving this. You know, like when God, especially when God first speaks something to you, the reason why you feel this overwhelming confidence is because God, that's what God's word does. Faith, just so you know, the word faith is speaking about like a persuasion, a belief, a confidence of something in your mind, a knowledge of something in your mind. And so when God speaks to you, that's how faith comes. So when you get a word from God and he really speaks it into your mind, man, it sparks something in your mind and you just feel confidence, right? But here's the thing, though. It's not just that initial word that produces that. So what he's saying is don't cast your confidence away, though, because of time that has passed. Don't allow time to be the thing, even with Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham? It took him, I think, decades. But he was already older when God gave him the word, and his wife was already barren at that time, let alone waiting years and years. Again, it doesn't have to take you years. Again, we're not comparing ourselves with Abraham here, right? And like just because of Abraham's lack of understanding that has to be for us too. So don't think that way. But as an example, and so that we can be inspired here, because you can be inspired by one another's faith, right? And again, Bible advises us to be imitators of those. And so you see Abraham, and he believed, and the Bible says he didn't grow weak in faith. It says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What he didn't allow is he didn't allow time to be like this factor in his mind that all of a sudden time invalidates the word of God. It doesn't. When God speaks to you something, okay, in this case, God was speaking to Abraham about this is a resurrection that you have. Now, of course, that the resurrection that God spoke to Abraham was certainly tied into him having a son, obviously. That's what Abraham understood. He understands, you know what? I'm going to have a son, and that's because, you know what, Lord? I don't have to be discouraged about what I see in my body because I have something in my body that is more than what I see. And so I will not be confident at first and then allow time, which is not a factor. If God tells you you have something in Christ, if God tells you how he can work through you in some kind of way, if God tells you some ability that you have in Jesus, that doesn't wane. This covenant is an everlasting covenant that God has made with us, and everything in this covenant is an everlasting thing. Do not grow weary in your well-doing. Okay, you need to continue in that faith. Okay, and don't allow time to be the thing that causes you to cast away your confidence. Because again, you can start out confident, but you know what you do? You know how you stay confident? The only way anyone can stay confident. Just replace that word confidence with faith. How does faith come? How does confidence come? By hearing the word of God. You need to be continually reminded of the things that God has spoken to you. You need to thank God, because I believe that that's what that verse is saying. When it says Abraham was strengthened in faith, that word strengthened in faith actually means it's a passive word. It doesn't mean that Abraham was strong, like active, like Abraham was the one doing it. That he was the one doing the strengthened faith. He was strengthened. That means something that was done to him from an outside source. Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And I believe what that's referring to is the fact that the way that thanksgiving and giving glory to God, what that does in general, is that even when you're thanking God, again, just meditation in general is how you use the word of God, but especially in his case, he was thanking God for the things that God has spoken to him, because they're real. And they're ours, and they're through a mediator, so they cannot be lost by our works. And he grew stronger in faith. And he didn't backpedal because of time. He didn't cast away his confidence about the things that he knew to be true of himself, right? Because everything, this is not to be self-centered, but at the same time, everything that Jesus did, which is what we want to be centered on, everything that he did was to make you into something new. You are the result of the finished work of Jesus. And so Abraham was remembering and thanking God for and rejoicing in the things that God had spoken to him about what he had in Christ, and knowing that's how Abraham could be confident that he would have a son. You see, it wasn't unimportant the fact that Abraham was confident in the fact that he was going to have a son, but that's not what was bearing the fruit. Abraham could be confident he was going to have a son. Abraham could be confident even that Isaac was still going to be his descendant through which nations of people would come from, Isaac. Even when he was going to go and offer Isaac up, Abraham still knew this is the one that God promised, and this is the one through which nations of people will come. And he knew that that was the case because of the fact that he understood the resurrection that he had in Jesus. The only reason that Abraham didn't even allow him potentially sacrificing his son to discourage him from knowing that through this boy is going to come nations of people. He didn't even allow sacrificing his son to discourage him from that promise because of the fact that he had a different promise, which was the resurrection of the dead. And, you know, I could go a little bit more into this. I won't get too deep into that. But it's what Abraham believed regarding what he had in Christ that just made him so confident about everything. And he didn't allow the time period that it took. And it took him a while. It took him years. Again, it might have been decades. I'm not sure. But at least years to see a manifestation of what he first believed. And what did he first believe? Again, the resurrection that God had promised him. And it says, so don't cast away your confidence. Don't start out confident and then cast it away. Because, it has a great reward. When you understand what you have in Christ, that bears great fruit. And again, I want to point this out. When God says great, it's not like when someone of an unrenewed mind or someone in this world says great. Great meaning like large or something or awesome. If God, who is greater than obviously anything else, says, and with a perfectly renewed mind, if you want to call it that, says great, great recompense of reward. This is a great recompense of reward. And it says your confidence that you continue in Jesus has great results. And don't allow time to be the thing to discourage you or to allow you to sap you of hope that it does have great recompense of reward. This is what he says, you have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, for those that have no obedience, the obedience is faith article that we have on there, you know the will of God here, he's talking about faith here. After you have done the will of God, in other words, after you've come to a full assurance of faith, you might receive the promise. And that's the case. That is the case for everybody. Again, no one is an exception to that. We all have need of patience so that after we have done the will of God, that great recompense of reward is manifest. And again, only after we have done the will of God, after we come to the full assurance of faith, we might receive the promise. Just because you don't receive something in a certain time frame, or just because you don't see a manifestation of something within a certain time frame, God is telling you it's not an excuse for you to cast away your confidence. Because be assured, your confidence in Jesus is not in vain. And the time that you spend meditating on what you have in Christ is not in vain. And it doesn't even have a small reward or a small payoff, but it has a great recompense and a great payoff of reward. And you will never regret in your life growing in the knowledge of Jesus, because it's not like it's doing nothing. It is always paying off. So continue all the more with all fervor, with all of your heart, serving God from the heart and understanding what you have in Christ all the more. And again, it has a great, great payoff.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.